Okay, it's 7 p.m. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Thank you, Commissioner Beville.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner
Metcalf.
I'm
sorry, Mayor, but I'd like to introduce
you. First thing on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance. For those of us that can stand,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
One moment of silence. Start with the introduction. I'm Mayor Stone, City of Forest Hills Mayor.
Dan Small, City Treasurer.
Rob DeWeese, Council for the City.
I'm Bev Lush, City Clerk.
I'm Linda Beville, the Road Commissioner.
So we've got two other people. One of them is Commissioner Resendez. She had something come up at 6:30. She has intent to. She might be here later. And then we got Commissioner Maupin. She's on vacation. She deserves it. So. But we have a quorum, thank goodness. So, and you're Tim Schumacher.
Yep. Right? Tim Schumacher. I'm the CEO of the Woody Williams Foundation.
And I'm Katie Howard, the Woody Williams Director of Memorial Monuments.
Okay. We're going to, the first thing on this tonight is to get a presentation from this organization. So the floor is yours.
So I got some packets for you guys. So on the top of it is just a one slider that gives kind of a once over of kind of where the foundation stands now and a little bit of the history. And then there's a larger packet in behind it that goes into a little bit more detail of everything. So I will start with that.
Thank you.
So just to start off a little bit, you know, I think the best place is to talk about Woody himself, Woody Williams. So he was the last living Medal of Honor recipient out of World War II, lived in West Virginia, right outside of the Huntington, Barbersville area. His grandkids live in and around Louisville. So one's up in LaGrange, one's out in Shelbyville, and then another one's just a little bit further up the road, heading up to the Cincinnati area. So Woody, you know, an interesting story. He's one of those individuals, you know, if you hear the story of him in the war, it's absolutely amazing. So if you think the Iwo Jima, the flag raising and that, so he was a flamethrower bearer, and he was paving the way for the infantry to go forward to basically take Mount Suribachi. In doing so, he went forward and he used his flamethrower to take out pillboxes to support the remainder of the forces to go forward. He ended up taking 7 pillboxes out with his flamethrower, and each time he'd have to run back to either get another flamethrower or get the flamethrower recharged, and he would carry the wounded back as he was running back to get another flamethrower to run forward again right into it and take out more pillboxes. All the while, after about 4 hours of that, finding out that he had 4 individuals that were protecting his flank, all of which had been killed. Every other flamethrower bearer had been killed. So, you know, it's just an amazing story. And if you talk to Woody, and I didn't have the pleasure of doing it, he passed away in 2022, but there's never been a single person that's ever said a bad thing about Woody, and he's the most humble person. He always said that he was a caretaker of the medal. The medal wasn't his, and it was all for the service members and the families, the service members that didn't make it home, and the family members that carried that legacy forward. So he got back. He was doing running Western Union telegrams to the families of the fallen. So hundreds of telegrams taken to fallen, the family of the fallen. And he noticed that, and after doing that for a couple of years, he was like, there's got to be a better way that we can honor, recognize, and serve all these families of the fallen service members. So he became, initially went over to the VA, worked 20 years in the VA, and then in 2012, really a little bit before that, but it was finished in 2012, he decided that, you know, we need to create and design a monument that really recognizes all of our Gold Star family members and the military surviving families. His whole goal was to design one of those monuments and have one like in his hometown in West Virginia. When he built it, the outpouring of support and the amount of families that came out that just flooded during this whole ceremony and this dedication. And he constantly had people coming up and he's like, we need one of these in our communities to be able to like recognize all of our families. And that's where it took off from there. So what started with one monument back in 2012, we're up to 158 now nationwide. Typically we do roughly like 3 to 4 a month dedication. September, I think we've got what, 7 in September alone. So, and it's all mainly based on word of mouth. You know, when we go do a dedication, people come out there and they see the monument. They're like, we want one of these in our community as well to recognize all the families. That's kind of the big part is the monument side of what we do, but we also have a whole other directorate that focuses all on outreach and support to Gold Star families. So the 28th of this month, we do a Gold Star Family Day at the ballpark with the Louisville Bats where we bring 50 Gold Star families out, and they'll normally, right after the seventh inning, do some sort of recognition. They'll pick one family to do the first pitch, and then we recognize the families after the seventh inning. So there's really, and we do everything from events with the Texas Rangers, with the Army-Navy game, and so roughly about 40 to 50 events that we do like that with the Gold Star families, and then that's on top of all the dedications that we do in support of all the families. I think it's, you know, it's interesting to kind of see, you know, and one of the stories that kind of resounds with me, you know, is you don't really understand the connection that some of these families have that lost a service member. And I retired out of the military after 23 years, you know, saw a lot of people, you know, pass away beside me. I will never know what a family goes through and the pain that they feel from losing a loved one overseas. And I can never relate to that. The previous CEO that was before me, you know, he told a story of he was out at one of the monuments and he was just sitting there, you know, kind of reflecting and looking at it. And he saw two kids kind of run up and like they're climbing through the cutout and kind of, you know, just climbing all over the monument. And in his mind, he initially thought, he was like, wow, that's kind of really disrespectful. You know, you see these kids climbing over a monument that's really meant to like honor all the families and all that. Well, a short while later, a mom walks up and strikes up a conversation with him, and literally they viewed that monument as a direct resemblance, and it was basically their father. So they were, that was their way of getting on the monument and kind of climbing on it and playing with, you know, their fallen, you know, service members. So it's one of those things that you're like, and he didn't say anything, thank goodness, because that would have changed the whole dynamic. But I will tell you, I've been on, we actually started the exact same time, the beginning of February of this year, and the first dedication I went to was, I've never felt something, even in my 23 years of service, that was that powerful. You know, the outpouring support of the community, the patriotism, literally just the love of country that comes out of that. And we typically, and everyone's a little different. We've got some at Capitol buildings that I would say are a little more on the political side, you know, where it's, I would say it's like a show, you know, where you got like that. But the ones that, I would say the vast majority of them are all about, you'll have Gold Star mothers, Gold Star children, and Gold Star family members that just pour into it, tell their story, and really it's, it, you know, having only been in it 6 months, it's one of those things that, you know, it's super humbling every time you do it, and it's very heavy, some of the conversations, but at the same point, it's probably the most rewarding thing I've done, you know. Yeah. I don't know if you have anything you want to add, Katie?
I manage a lot of the operations and one-on-one with the Gold Star families. Right now we have 44 committee members pending a project, hopefully with 18 this year. And every project is different, but the biggest relation that I notice is the community that comes together to support these families. If it's a contractor that's doing cement or lighting, and the VFW assistance at the Veteran Memorial Cemeteries, the
the gratitude the families have, and they don't feel alone, for them to be seen and recognized and have someone to relate to talk about their fallen heroes, it's an everlasting impact for them. So it's an honorable position to be in.
So the one thing with the monument itself as well, like, so it is the purest granite, you know, possible. Like, so when Woody designed this, he spent years figuring out exactly, and there is some, and so just full disclosure, all that granite is sourced from India, and it's because that is the purest, clearest, cleanest granite that you can find, like, in the world. So we found some different vendors inside the U.S., but it all has that, it has way more white marbling on it that really, according to Woody, it distracted from, like, the message that we wanted to present, you know, on the monument itself. And so the granite comes in from India. We've got a vendor that, Bailey's Granite, which is in eastern Kentucky, that we use for all the local monuments in this area. And they're phenomenal to work with. So the price of the four panel, I know we had talked, like, we might not have room for the four panel. It might be closer to the two.
I was, because of the area, did you go out and visit the area?
It looked like it was pretty narrow. Yeah, it might be better for, like, a two panel
right.
on that. And it really depends on the peripheral stuff, if you want to do any lighting. I saw you had the flag poles out there and that.
The two panel is what initially got my attention, okay? Because I felt like it would fit just on the west side of the flagpole.
Yes, sir. Okay.
And I know we talked for quite a while about sponsorship and stuff like that. Did you happen to bring me information about where we could possibly work with somebody on that?
So we're very well connected in the greater Louisville area that we can support. There's a lot, and everything's a little different in terms of how we work with, you know, different sponsors, because there's one that, you know, we do a lot with UPS, which they didn't do any sponsorship on either of the other two, you know. So we've got the two panel up in Crestwood, as well as we've got the four panel over there in J-Town.
Right.
So those are the two in the area. But a lot of the bigger businesses through their VRGs, you know, so their business resource group, but on the veteran side, they will, like, offer up. And that's what we typically, between those bigger companies, like when you got UPS, GE, Appliances, Ford, is it Arvada?
Arvada, Dow Chemical Plant,
Amazon.
Jim Beam's very big on that.
So working a lot with those veterans resource groups, as well as, like, the local banks, typically will donate a lot towards, you know, a thing like that.
And I also brought up about the pavers, mm-hmm. having ones that could have a veteran's name on it with dates of service or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And we can get all that information for, so that's a great fundraiser for doing the paper. And a lot of times, either a family, so we've seen it both ways, whether a family will want, like, their own service member that had fallen, they might want to buy a paper to have their name kind of inscribed on that, so it stays there, you know, in perpetuity. The other time, a lot of times, some of the businesses will also foot the bill for multiple papers. They'll just say, and they won't give a certain name or a specific name, but they'll say, hey, we want to honor 20 or 50 or 100 veterans to be able to support it. Yeah. But we can give you all that information as well that is for the papers.
My son was a veteran, 23 years in the Marine Corps.
Oh, thank you for his service.
Well, he died in 2019. His last deployment was, he was in the Battle of Fallujah, and he was completely different when he came home. And I said, a lot of these men, they're home, but they're still at war. But I think this is a wonderful monument to the ones who died in combat.
And that's one of those, and first of all, thank you for your service and his service and, you know, your whole family sacrifice, you know.
He loved every minute he was a Marine.
23 years, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. In the military, especially in the Marine Corps, all branches, of course. I'm a Marine as well. I I did just 4 years active Forest Reserve, and you've probably been out in Fallujah. Mm-hmm. What you go through is difficult, but it's an honorable family.
I've read that next to Iwo Jima, it was the worst battle that's ever been fought. Mm-hmm. 43 days.
Yeah, I was in Baghdad when everything happened in Fallujah, and I remember it was absolutely terrible, you know, the fighting there, and the Marines that served there, you know, it's, you know, and, you know, I say it like kind of jokingly, you know, but it, you know, when, you know, we do a breakfast at Cracker Barrel up in LaGrange, and because Woody was a Marine, it's mainly Marines there, and it's, you know, all of them have any kind of, some of them have mental health issues that they dealt with, or dealing with issues, you know, from, you know, what they experienced in the military, and it's a safe space to have everybody together and talk about what they went through, and, I'm the only Army guy, so I go in there, and you can imagine kind of the.
Represents the Army.
That's so, just how they are, though.
Well, we did I say it jokingly, we did a golf tournament with UPS, and the guy that I replaced was a Marine, and he brought me another shirt and made me an honorary Marine. So he hands it to me, you know, right before I'm getting ready to go up and, you know, give the speech to everybody. And so it's perfect. Like, he hands it to me, and I was like, well, heck, he gave me this shirt now, so I'm an honorary Marine, so nobody can judge my speech at this point. I lost like 10 points on my IQ just in the last
2 years. UPS, I'll tell you this. When I worked at Walgreens, our UPS driver gave me a pair of UPS socks. Warmest pair of socks I ever wore in my whole life. But he told me, he said, now I'm going to tell you something, Miss Linda. This does not mean you can accept packages.
Yeah, we've got and that might be another really good one. We've got a very strong partnership with UPS. We do a golf tournament. We also did the Street Rod Festival that just happened. We just did that in partnership with them. And they're amazing people. But all of those connections, we'd be happy to link you up with the support with the sponsorship side.
And see, on one hand, the family history would help our area, Sandcastle, Cold Spring, and Warrenton Hills, all that development was developed because of the Ford Company growth out here on October Lane. So that's why I wanted to bring that up to see if there was any connection there, because we do have a lot of what we've got. We just found out last month we got a group that does a reunion. And they've been doing the EP Tom Sawyer. And so now this group of past residents brought up that maybe they may consider using our green space, which, as you drive down North Oakland, if you look off, you know, going through the flag, if you look off to the left and west, the green space is huge out there. And we, you know, after we did the dedication with the flagpole, I thought, you know, there's still something that we need to do for veterans, because we did the 9/11 because it was already there. So that's the reason why I approached you all. I actually found you all because I went to a graveyard manufacturer, I guess, to see what they had available to make like a monument. Mm-hmm. And he brought up you all. That's how I got the connection with you all. Even though you're not using him, he's over here in Indiana close by. Okay, so that is the reason why I have you here. And I also thought that I knew it wouldn't happen this year, but I was thinking, what kind of time frame are we looking at if we wanted to try and get it in for November 11th of next year, Veterans Day?
It is possible. We've had committees do it within 10 months. It takes 6 at the top goal if they have a site approval and get 50% of the monument to order the granite. The vendor cannot order the granite until the 50%, which would be $25,000 if you did the 2 families. That would be 6 to 8 months for it to get here. And then through that process, we would work on with you with the concrete, with the site layout, with the images. If you wanted additional events or fundraising, that would give us time to do that. The quickest that I've seen a monument get placed, I would say, is right around 10 months, so.
Okay. You bring up the concrete. Is the $50,000 include all the preparation and everything?
I wish it did. It includes the shipping and the installation from the vendor, but that would be an additional cost from us for fundraising. A lot of the committees have found contractors that donate their service. That's a very attainable goal with reaching out to everyone. So who wouldn't support this cause? So it would be with networking and connections and all of us working together to find somebody who would donate their services. But if that wasn't feasible, it would be an additional cost.
Okay.
What date did you say the Bats game was?
28th of August.
I just had a question. I forgot it. I'll pick up the camera.
So, and if you wanted to see, and I know we've got the one over in J-Town, but we also do a traveling monument. So it's essentially, looks exactly the same as one of the monuments like that, you know, are granite and built. But it's essentially like movie prop material, if you kind of think of that. So one person can essentially pick up a piece of it. But it's more awkward, so we normally, like, it takes about two, but we take that all over to a lot of our events, and we'll have that at that game as well, at the Louisville Bats game set up for the table and everything.
So, okay, now I remember what it is. So, we won't make a decision tonight, but we would like to have a month to think about it, okay? So that would put us in September 7th, be basically 14 months. So you're saying it is feasible to get it done. What kind of help do you all help? Because you keep talking about getting us in contact with the sponsors and the other people. Do you all assist in doing any part of the negotiations with them?
So it would be a little bit different here because us being from Louisville, we can probably do quite a bit more to assist. When we're dealing with somebody in Utah or Oregon that's putting a monument, typically we will give them advice on people to reach out to, and we will like reach out to some to support. It's just we're not as familiar with that area to be able, you know, we can give advice on banks are a great place, you know, and a great resource and typically donate a lot. But we'd be happy to like help you guys here with some of those contacts and working, you know, the fundraising side of it.
We do have a director of technology and innovation, and she's also level after you register with us, if you're committed to this, to get you on our website. You have to have a donation link, and then we could get the inspiration story of the Gold Star families in the community to get that story out on our nationwide websites, not just websites, social media platforms, which has been very beneficial. And then the director of development, he's a good resource for event planning, guidance, fundraising, and same thing with what Tim is saying with connections locally. And I would be the same connection if there's VFWs or reaching out to the president of the Gold Stars Mothers, the Gold Stars Spouses, the nation foundations as well. So it would be very hands-on with support. There's committees that I talk to at least every week, a couple times a week, to answer questions and see what we can do, because it's impactful to get these monuments in, but bringing everyone together to recognize it, that's really the main mission of it.
My biggest concern is getting any resident to get involved in this, okay? Because this is, we've had other things that we wanted to do, and you get a bunch of promises, and then nobody wants to do anything.
Yes, sir.
So, do we have to have half the funds available before you get all involved, or how does it work?
The initial set would be to have three committee members. One would have to be a Gold Star member, and that would be part of the committee, an honorary board member, and then two committee members. They would be able to send the handbook that would sign off. Of course, you can have more than three, more hands-on, the better, of course. And after you do that, we'll send you the registration link. That's when you would fill out the information and we create your webpage. We do an onboarding meeting with the team, and then from there, you're going to have my phone number, my contact, our emails, and we're going to be hands-on as much as possible. And I'm used to, both of us are used to 24/7 operations, so there's not a weekend, there's not a time that we don't want to help out. Honestly, getting to know everybody and seeing what we can do to help is our whole core value with it.
Why don't we find a gold star?
We could definitely help you with that. Through our Gold Star network, like in this area, we would be able to. I know there's a lot, and we're working through that even right now. We got a gala in October that we're inviting a lot, so we'll have 50 Gold Star families there at that gala. So we could definitely assist you in that and see if somebody would want to kind of take that on as like the Gold Star family member.
There's some experience with already doing the monuments and the dedications and the fundraising. I know when we did Churchill Downs, we had quite a few there that already had their hands in to complete this project. So we have resources and families that we could reach out to help with that. And with experience from past monuments.
Can she talk a little bit about like the registering, like the committee and that kind of thing? So what we typically, so all of our committees, we create an account like with the foundation. And so essentially all of those donations can be donated into that account, so you can use the benefit of the 501c3 and not pay taxes, and then we pay for everything out of that account. So that way you wouldn't have to worry about that side.
We don't pay taxes in there.
So that's...
Trust me. There are a lot of exemption forms.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? If you'll leave those, reserve those to the other two commissioners.
Sure.
Is that the bed over there? Okay. I appreciate y'all coming out. Any all questions at all?
I'm going to look this over when I get home.
Where is the one in Crescent?
Up by South Oldham.
Yeah.
Down the street, from what I can tell, it's headed towards 393, is it on?
I'm not super familiar with Crestwood. I've been to the monument a couple times, but to explain the exact location, I know it is like near South Oldham High School, though.
Because you can see the South Oldham High School in the background of the picture. It's on the website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on that side street where South Oldham's at.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what...
393 is down there.
Is that 393?
So, yeah. Walmart is.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not on 22 or 146. It's you come off and come down the street. But I'm thinking the police station's down that way. I can't remember. But that monument it's the base is not what the new base is. Because Tim was telling me that. On the base of the monuments now, it has all six service emblems on it.
Mm-hmm. And we do partner with Department of War for all of that. So we have, that's one of the requirements that we have to do so we have to have every service represented on it. I think the benefit the one thing we always talk about with the monument, it's not tied to any conflict or any like specific service. So we honor families across the board, whether they were Army, Marine, Air Force, Navy, and throughout. So,
just as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And on the back side, the Gold Star is for the one side. The back side, we can actually put in the photographs and the other stuff that we select, which I thought would be good if we did first responder stuff back there. That's what I was looking at in my mind. So, because the first responders also really need some honoring too. I mean, they put their life on the line every day. So again, this is something we can talk about. The backside of the Gold Star Monument, it's a conglomerate of whatever the city would want to put back up. It's got pictures and stuff. I don't know if there's. I didn't go through here real quick, but I know on the website they show some different things that are on the backside of the one they have.
Monuments, but I think that's quite a few split on there. And it is at the Oldham High School. South Oldham High School is the location.
Okay.
But if you're on the website, it shows the 150 plus monuments that are dedicated for inspiration for the images. And if you were to send some of the images that you want, the vendor has a graphic design team, and they'll help kind of, even if you verbalize it, you can help customize it with their graphic design.
The only kind of limitation on the pictures is, you know, we typically don't, and there are some out there, you'll find some, but, you know, that's always been kind of a one-off, but we try to not have any individual faces on it, so it's not about a certain family or a certain person, you know, so it's more general and might support everybody.
The idea of, like, having all the different services represented on there, you know.
Like the benches and the description marker, that is where you could personalize if it's a certain year-old's name in that community. You can do that with the benches and description marker, or of course the sponsors.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you, Mr. Marker. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for the time, and we appreciate your interest and discussion.
I'm Katie Howard.
Thank you.
Pardon my
rudeness. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Hope you guys have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you guys again. Appreciate
all right. Y'all have a blessed evening.
Thanks. Yes, you too.
Okay. Next on the agenda is the July 21st, 2026 city meeting minutes. They were distributed. They were posted on the website. Were there any corrections that needed to be done? If not, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. I can't hear.
No one else is here to approve it.
Well, I know, but when they do it at the same time, I don't know. Anyhow, city financial reports, July 2026. Financial reports, they were distributed and also posted on the website. Any corrections? If not, do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion, please.
Oh, I forgot. We got the vote.
Yeah.
Okay. We vote on the minutes first. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the financial reports, we've had a motion by Commissioner Metcalf.
I'll second that.
Okay. Seconded by Commissioner Bebill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Invoices and receipts, where's all that stuff at?
I haven't seen it.
That's the reason why I'm asking about it. Bring it over here so I can... illegal. Other than I don't know if we. Oh, what did you find out?
There's evidently the city has a potential claim to file against DISH in litigation going on in the bankruptcy court in Houston. But if you don't know what DISH account number you had.
As far as we know,
I think it's just trash.
I
think so, yeah.
I'll take it.
There we go. That's what I'm thinking. Well, that we can't make any accusations. All right. Okay. Anything else from legal?
Nothing.
What did we talk about last time?
Nothing. Right here in the minutes it says none.
Okay.
The only thing is just, you know, once the taxes, the delinquencies
okay.
are ready, then
right.
we're ready to go. So
okay. Yeah, Dan and I should start getting this stuff from the auditors here sometime later this week or next week. Okay, old business. I couldn't think of anything other than welcome the ambassadors. I haven't heard anything. What about communications?
Channel 3.
It's channel 6.
Channel 3.
Oh. What channel?
3.
All right, channel 3. All right, new
There's
business.
There's an echo in here. Yeah.
Well, he's speaking that way, and I don't.
That's what it is.
I know.
All right, new business. Our
I
CD,
have a question. New business.
Okay.
I know that the townhouses on Pacelli asked. They had Rumpke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we never did. They never showed up on our Rumpke account, did they?
No.
Okay. So then that owner that owns those properties, he called somebody and wanted to have us, because they're taxpayers, pay for their garbage service, which is fine. But my question is, who in the world thought it was a good idea to give those townhouses individual garbage bins instead of a dumpster like they had before? Because those garbage bins are sitting halfway on the street, on the sidewalk, in front of the units, and it's trashy looking.
Okay. The property owner requested it. We don't know why, but we suspect is because the apartments behind that are back there selling you, I think is what it is, are trash in their dumpster. That was probably the reason why. That's my assumption. We couldn't question why he wanted it other than that's probably the reason. I mean, there was the last week that I saw the dumpster there was another mattress next to it.
I know that. Because evidently Rumpke wasn't emptying it or not taking care of it.
Well, when the trash was getting in front of it, a number of times, Commissioner McKemp and I was over there, there'd be trash in front of it where a dumpster truck couldn't even get in to hook it, okay? And I think that they came up with the fact that, if they could have trash bins, they wanted to try the trash bins.
Okay, well then do the same. Okay, do we have an ordinance in the city that says you have to take your garbage cans in? You can't leave them on the street?
Obviously not.
Huh?
Obviously not.
County does.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Obviously
they're out on the street all the time.
But these not only are sitting, some of them are on the sidewalk, some of them are between the curb and the sidewalk, some of them are up next to the doors. Not all of those units are occupied, so those are just sitting there. And then not only are they putting their garbage out, which is fine, they're taxpayers, but they're also setting garbage beside the bins. Now they're setting stuff beside the bins, thinking that they're going to pick up everything that's sitting there. They don't realize that they don't even get out of the truck. And if those garbage cans are not at the curb,
right,
they're going to roll right on by. They're not going to get out and empty those bins. I think it was a very poor decision. That's just my opinion. And I mean, yeah, the taxpayers have a right to get what they want, but we would like a recycling bin where I live, and we don't get it, so, there you are. But I don't think for the community as a whole, it is anything that is going to be beneficial to how the neighborhood looks. That's just my opinion.
Well, how many people even know the townhouses are in City or in the hills?
What?
How many people actually know those houses or them townhouses are in the city of Worthington Hills?
Well, I'm talking about if I want to sell my condo and I put it on the market and I've got a realtor that's bringing somebody up to see my condo and they go past that mess, What do you think my chances are?
I got a sign. Well, can we get a notice to the property owner? This is the man that talked to. We get the notice to the property owner about they're going to have to, if they want to have the trash bins, they're going to have to do such and such and such.
I wish we could do something.
Well, that's a good question. Or else what, you know? He's the man that can answer.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to... If there's no City of Worthington Hills ordinance against it, I have to find the county ordinance.
The county ordinance just requires also that all the trash be in the bins.
And it's a code issue, I suppose.
Well, then,
yeah.
I mean,
311 Metro,
we could, 311, we could call code enforcement, I suppose.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the city didn't have any legal recourse, but that's probably a Metro 311.
But those people that live there, they rent from him. They're not, I mean, he owns the property.
Right.
He doesn't live there.
Right.
So he doesn't care what it looks like.
But, I mean, he might care if he starts getting.
You what?
He might care if he starts getting.
Code enforcement
out there. Nothing else they're paying to deal with.
He does need to know that. He does need to know the rules. And I guess what we need to do is get Ecotec to send him the letter so that he can notify all the residents of what's required. I think that's one of the things that we need to do is have Ecotec send them notice.
Well, that would be a place to start.
Yeah, right.
You know, just say it. You know, you've got to have your bins by the curb because they don't get picked up if they're not, if they can't hook onto them. And, I mean, just like everybody else, tell them what you can and can't put out.
Right. Well, we'll get our, Susan's on vacation, so we'll get notice to Susan. I told her she can listen to the audio file. Okay. So I can get a hold of them and let them know what we need to do. Give them the address of the property owner. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
That.
Well, while you're on the floor, why don't you just bring up the speed bumps for?
Oh, I gave you all the. I didn't give them to you all, did I? But if you want, Mr. Reese, you want to see
this? You?
Those are the bins that I got, or the estimates I got on the. Adding the new seven new speed humps between Halifax and Northumberland.
On Lunenburg?
See him?
On Lunenburg?
On Northumberland. It's seven new speed bumps we're going to put in on there.
Between where and where?
Halifax.
There's three of them on Halifax. There's four of them on Northumberland. The only one on Northumberland won't be changed out. It's the one in front of the daycare center. All the yellow bumps will be gone.
It's between here. It's in my
okay.
minutes. It's
there. Okay.
The address is.
Just the way you said it, I was confused about what area you were talking about.
It starts at Halifax right as you get inside the city limits and goes all the way around to the last speed bump,
right.
bump before the nursery. All terrain can get on. He can start it as soon as week after next.
Well, I'll make a motion based off of what we see here that we go ahead and contract with All Terrain for the seven speed bumps.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you say they could start in 2 weeks? Did you say they could start in 2 weeks?
Yeah, he said he could start in 2 weeks.
So all-terrain paving construction to do the Seven City Humps on Halifax and Northumberland. The three on Halifax and the four on Northumberland.
And these won't just be, these will be milled in like they're supposed to be. These are not going to just lay on top of the road.
Right. Yeah. And they've got the thermoplastic chevrons on them.
So and that way, all our speed bumps will be exactly the same.
Right. So, that's my motion.
Finish your
motion. I'll second.
All of the favors say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Can I ask a question? When are we going to get an invoice for the paving?
Will they send the invoice for the paving? When they're finished putting in the speed bumps today.
Oh, that's tomorrow. Part of it. Okay.
They're still not. They're not finished yet.
Yeah, they're that's a fiscal year 27 anyway.
And painted lines? Have they painted lines yet?
No.
Okay. What did you ask?
Have they painted the lines yet?
What lines?
At the stop signs.
No, we didn't request that. Did we?
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay.
The stop farms? No, we didn't request stop farms.
Okay. I have a couple of items of new business. The front island has been hit numerous times now, and the blocks are all messed up. What are we going to do about it?
Well, and the weeds are growing, taking over, too. I noticed that this afternoon.
Well, that's property maintenance. That's Harold's and them's obligation to make sure that stuff is put back right.
So does somebody need to contact him and advise him that we need that done, or what?
Well, he's supposed to be out there working on it every week. I mean, or whenever they go up there. I mean, they go up there and do trimming and weeding. I don't know how often they're up there. What else you got?
The flag light. Is there any way it can be raised a little bit? At night, the whole flag's not lit up.
Yeah.
I mean, not raised, adjusted.
Adjusted up. I mean, if Ed wants to go up there and do it, Ed's more than happy to, do
okay.
it. I can't do it. Dennis can't do it. I mean.
And I wouldn't even know where to start.
I will tell him to go down there and do it. Thanks. I'm done.
Okay.
Is this just kind of ready computers?
Oh, I'm getting there. It's on here. Okay.
Can I have my minute?
Let's go.
Yes, ma'am. There you go.
Commissioner Resendez couldn't make it. She had something come up. And the tree limbs that she talked about, they're down in the green space. She got a quote. Pro Tree, which is who did the work behind this, Pulaski last year. They quoted $1,500. This is to remove broken tree limb in the green space, cutting down limb and leaving wood cut up on site, $1,500, and that based on the tree tech, tree is still good.
They're not going to haul the wood off that they cut? They're not going to haul off the wood that they cut?
No, we usually keep it out there for people to think. People coming to take it where the
farm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, everything that they've cut up out there, they've left out there piled, stacked nicely, not just thrown everywhere.
Okay. So they say the tree is healthy, it doesn't need to come down?
Yeah, which really surprises me.
Yeah.
I yielded the floor too soon.
I jumped right in there.
So,
I do have something else to talk about.
Okay. I guess I didn't hear anything from Harold or, from there, from Maximus, so I guess we just need to get it done.
it's in the budget anyhow to do this kind of stuff. So I'll make a motion that we go ahead and get Pro Trees LLC to go ahead and take care of that as soon as possible.
I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Commissioner McMill.
We've got several, we have several traffic signs and street signs in the city that are just awful. We've got stop signs with paint peeling or covered peeling. We have some street signs that you couldn't even see them in the daylight, much less the dark. So I contacted Andrew at Safety Co., and he's going to come out and go through the city, because I've already made a list, so I'll know whether he's... But go through the city. But I would also like us to consider, we have 54 street signs throughout the city that probably are going to need to have something done to them. I would like to see us get them uniform if we can, you know, instead of having a mishmash. Also, I'm going to ask him anytime if they replace the signs that all the poles are put on where they're the breakaway kind. So if somebody hits them, the only thing you need to replace is what is above the ground. Everything, you don't have to pull the whole sign out, because the sign or the pole is attached to like an anchor, and it breaks away. And that's because, let's just be realistic about it. We don't have you anymore to do it, and we don't have Dennis anymore to do it. And we have the money in the budget, and I think it's fine that you all want to, and you have helped a tremendous amount, but we're just going to have to be realistic and realize that we're going to have to start paying to have some of this work done.
Right. I think you're going to be quite surprised when you find out how much the signage costs.
Well, maybe I will be, but I'm just saying.
I understand.
You know,
I'm
not saying change all of them, but I'm saying at least...
The poles that are leaning could be corrected, okay? And the street signs, there are a number of old street signs, okay? But when I was road commissioner, I had several street signs. In fact, Bay's Inn was one of them that was replaced. Bay's Inn, and that one that's missing now, that was replaced back when I was road commissioner, because for some reason it disappeared, okay? So, I totally agree. So, when you get the quote, it'll be here next month, that's fine. And, you know, we need to do what we need to do, you know? These people need to quit putting the freaking dang lost pet signs on the stop signs, because when they tape them on there, they're bringing off that coating that is the anti-graphic coating they put on there. That's what's caused a lot of the stop signs to be the way they are. But yeah, that's fine. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
I'm done, I promise.
All right. We have three old computers from their iMac. Is that iMac?
Yeah.
They're old Apple computers from the previous administration. Okay. We can't get into any of them. Okay. Because they were all security coded. And Dan has said he's got a company that will take and dispose of them and destroy the hard drives. That's important. We need them. The big thing is we need to have validated that the hard drives have been destroyed properly. Okay? So, is there any objection
to having the company that he knows or has the ability to do. There's no value to them at all, because you can't get into them.
I'd love to know what's on those.
I would too. Well, we did, when we first took over as commission, we had that computer group that we bought our computers from try and get into it, but they couldn't get anything out of them.
I mean, you can turn it on and you can use it, but there's...
Oh, no, but I'm just talking about...
If there was anything that was really on it, they couldn't...
Right. So...
It's a iMac, I guess, and then it's
okay, two... Okay, iMac, yeah.
It's two, like, iPads.
Well, we do need to document that they're destroyed.
Do they provide that?
I'm sure. Yeah, okay, sorry.
Well,
I might be, unless there's something legal that has to be done, I can write up something that says a serial number and what it is and have them sign it. But it's been
proper.
I'm sure that would be sufficient for the city's perspective. Yeah. It's a company in Middletown called PC Quest. They do our IT.
Well, I know where PC Quest is.
Two Russian brothers that run it.
That's who I get my computer with. So. I've been dealing with them since I was doing business. In fact, my business that I used to own, we got our original PCs from them, so they've been around a long time.
So do you need to make a motion about that?
Yeah. So...
Are we recording?
Huh?
Yeah. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see the thing.
Oh, they're over here.
Okay.
All those in favor I'll make a motion that the computers be destroyed, that we have the iMacs from the previous group prior to us taking over.
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner McCaff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right, we got three limbs. All right. CDs. The CDs are maturing. When did they mature? This next week or so, right? You got the envelopes, right?
I do.
What's the mature date on them? Beth?
August 27th.
August 27th. On the back of the sheet that I've given you to follow along, we can get a 5-month at 4% annual percentage yield, which is better than what we're getting right now. My big concern is I want to make sure that we have funds in the road fund. What we come up with the total with the beam humps and the work we're doing on Pacelli, and
it was 100 and I'm going to say right around 150,000.
Okay. And I don't mind. Can you see one of those sheets back here? It is you.
What's wrong?
He's kicking the wire.
It's still there. Yes.
Let's see this. 152, no?
Okay.
Because the speed that you're talking about on Pacelli, fixing the potholes, that was like $1,800 or something.
Okay. So right now in the road fund, in the bank account, we have $138,000
$996, which will get about, what do we normally get on roof funds? We've been getting about $1,500 to $1,900, so we'll get, if we got $1,500, we could basically look at, it was $140,000, so Ludenberg's what, $108 and change? $108. Should we leave it? Should we leave the $250,000 mutual fund on the road fund, or do you want to break it, take it down to $200,000? Are we going to need anything? I don't think we'll need anything.
We haven't paid for this speed humps on the new ones. This new 7, we haven't. So we know how much that's going to be. This is going to be $21,000. I can't imagine. I've checked the streets. We don't have potholes.
Right.
You know, only except on Caselli. We don't have potholes.
This will take us to the end of January when we make this change. The next, if it's August 27th, then. If we were down there on the 27th, it would be January 27th, but it'd probably be early February before the next mature date. That's the reason why I'm bringing this up. I just want to make sure that we don't run ourselves short.
I don't want to run short, so I'm going to defer to you and Dan on that.
The next mature date is February 27th, if we don't touch it.
No, that goes to 6 months.
It says February 27th.
Yeah, read it. It's 6 months if we don't touch it. The interest rate that we're getting quoted is 5 months. Oh. They move them to a 6 month if we don't touch it. And that one's got the real change on it too. So
I'd make the road fund CD 200,000 and leave the rest of it. And then February, whatever, we can add money to it.
All right. So, all right. So, we leave the general fund alone. Just let it start, keep growing. We take.
God bless your heart.
Perfect.
Take the restricted fund and move it. We take the restricted fund CD has got $259,537.66. That was the day that we got it. Okay, so there's still a little bit more, so we can take it. If we take the just $50,000 and transfer it out of it, we still have $209,000. $200,600. So we move $50,000 off this when we do the change. We move $50,000 back into the road fund account, and the remainder just moves forward.
All right.
If you're worried about interest, you can take $50,000 out of the money market account and put it in the CD because you've got $300,000 in there right now.
Okay.
And we're about to get a bunch of money, hopefully, on the property tax. So if you want to keep the total balances in the CDs about the same, you can take $50,000 out of the road fund CD and take $50,000 out of the money market and put it into the. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So we have enough to move $50,000 out of the general fund into the general fund to up that another $50,000, which would put us around a $569,000 in the CD for the general fund,
and take $50,000 out of the road fund CD to put back in the road fund for expenses. But if we, and we can do that, and then if we don't need anything, then our next change that we do in February would be we can move the road fund back up. Okay.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay, with the motion that I made, moving $50,000 out of our assets, cash assets, into the general, from the general fund into the general fund CD, and moving, taking $50,000 out of our road fund CD and moving it into our road fund cash assets. That's my motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville. You understanding there, Commissioner Metcalf?
Yep.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So we move in 50 plus. Okay. Anything else for new business?
Yeah, I just want to let you all know, you know, the state fair starts Thursday. So you won't hear much from me from Thursday until the next Sunday, 11 straight days.
Okay. All right.
Information booth. Tell people where to go all day. I have a ball.
All those, okay, so the commission member, we now have the commissioner reports. Go ahead, Commissioner Beville.
728, I contacted Louisville Paving, Libs Paving, and All Terrain Paving and asked for estimates on replacing 7 speed bumps beginning at 11900 Halifax Drive and ending at 3810 Northumberland. 84, I corresponded via email with a property owner about the missing street signs at the intersection of Bay Run Drive and Bay Sand Court. 85, I drove the city and made a list of all the damaged and fading street signs. There are also multiple traffic signs that need to be replaced. 86, I contacted Commissioner Resendez about a tree limb that is obstructing a street sign and a stop sign at the intersection of Lunenburg Drive and Lunenburg Court. Mayor Stoneham advised that the tree is on private property and the city of Worthington Hills can't trim the limb. Commissioner Resendez will reach out to the property owner. 88, I replied to another email from another homeowner about the missing street signs. And then 810, I contacted Andrew at Safety Co. to get an estimate on replacing the street and traffic signs. And then on 8/11, I received and replied to an email from a resident in the 4500 block of Lunenburg who was concerned about the milling on the street damaging her driveway. The finished paving corrected the problem. There was just a big gap, and the paving took care of that. It wasn't, her driveway wasn't damaged. So there was no damage. I took pictures, and she's happy as a little lark. That's the end of my report.
Safety Commission report. Grove City at various times conducted radio checks last month using channel 2. We used channel 3 tonight. Issued parking permits for 4004 Northumberland Drive on 7/22/26. 4515 Lunenburg Drive at 7/30/26, and for 4721 Lunenburg Drive on 7/31/26. That's pretty much it.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Thank you, Commissioner Beville. Well, if I don't hear, there's nothing else, then do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. I hear second.
Oh, let me see. I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville. Y'all have a blessed evening. And the time is
8:09.
8:09.